Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, the Raptors' really, 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 really big rings. Toronto's first championship ring features 1.25 carat diamond. That's at the top. The Larry O'Brien Trophy, right? And then that's the largest single diamond in any professional sports ring. And then there's 74 diamonds overall in and around the Toronto skyline to represent the team's 74 wins if you add up the regular season and the playoffs.
They're really stretching to figure out if they that 74 diamonds work.
These are large.
Nice piece of jewels.
Right. Nav got a ring, right? That's nice. What did you think, Tracy?
It's awesome. Very nice. Bling, bling to the
It's like
fullest.
One of Tracy's bracelets.
Bling.
Well, that's true.
It's good to see my man Nav get one, too.
Yeah. Right?
Lots of Nav.
A little super fan getting a ring there. That's pretty good. Welcome to The Jump. I am joined by our day one Jump squad, Brian Windhorst, and the Hall of Famer, Mr. Tracy McGrady. I am Rachel Nichols. Coming up, T-Mac said yesterday that James Harden, might average 40 points a game this season. We're going to discuss how likely his bold prediction is later in the show. First, though, so the Clippers beat the Lakers, and afterward you heard a lot of folks say these teams are both just, they're just getting started, right, on what they'll eventually become, that last night didn't mean all that much, or in Doc Rivers' words, quote, it was just one of 82. And there's some truth to that, not just in Doc's technical ability to read a calendar, but with some of the fitful moments we saw at the start of the game. LeBron was so determined to feed Anthony Davis in the post. Over. And over. And over. And over. Even the popcorn vendors knew where he was about to go. We also had that awkwardness of it officially being a Clippers home game, but with a significant Lakers crowd. Kawhi Leonard addressed the fans pregame, got booed. LeBron took some free throws, got MVP chants. There was also the double take moment when Paul George joined the Clippers bench, looking like he'd just been tapped to star in the new James Bond movie.
Nice.
Twitter had a few jokes. There was this one and this one. But by the time the second quarter rolled around, PG actually looked properly dressed for the Broadway show that Kawhi had started to put on, firing 7 straight shots to completely change the game's momentum. You know that new Terminator commercial where Arnold Schwarzenegger and Linda Hamilton are joking that Kawhi acts just like one of the movie's famous robots, except then Kawhi turns around and his eye lights up, Terminator style? That's pretty much what last night's second quarter looked like, only what made the run so telling was that it wasn't just Kawhi who looked indestructible. You had Mo Harkless with the steal and the bucket that showed just how well he's going to fit in on this heart and hustle team that still has 6'1" Patrick Beverley doing 6'1" Patrick Beverley things. Here he is trying to win the jump ball against AD, who's got 9 inches on him. Yep. And even after that, the little clap because, you know, he's Pat Bev. Now, it wouldn't be all Clippers the rest of the way. The Lakers made a run in the third, and we saw some vintage LeBron, both with this dunk. Whew. And a little block there. Sorry. But in the fourth quarter, a little shade of Andre Iguodala, the Clippers' depth helped them pull away for good. By the time it was over, Steve Ballmer got so excited, he actually ripped the elbow of his shirt from clapping so hard. And the Clips bench had outscored the Lakers bench 60-19. That's a lot, in case you're curious. And this is all before Paul George comes back from his shoulder surgery. I actually saw PG in the hallway after the game. He told me his brain was going into absolute overdrive on the bench as he thought of all the little ways he can complement what he was already seeing out on the floor. So yeah, this game was just one of 82. Paul George still has to come back. You'll still see more LeBron and AD pick and roll, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But just because this game didn't mean everything, didn't mean it didn't mean something. We saw an early picture of who these teams are, and it sure looked a lot sharper for one of them than the other. So as you can see on the screen, that means we got to start out with something, nothing, or everything, right,
wow,
guys?
Early in the show.
First up, the Clippers bench outscoring the Lakers bench 60-19. Something, nothing, or everything. What do you got, Tracy?
I'm saying this is everything. Reason being, I have the Clippers winning the championship this year. to be a championship team, you got to have a championship bench. You got to have a bench that produces every night. When starters are slacking a little bit, these guys come in, they provide great energy. You got a guy in Lou Will who's been a sixth man a few times that averages 20 points. And I just like what I see from them. So I'm going everything.
This is everything, not just because what happened in this game. This is the fundamental difference between these two teams. The Lakers had to clear the decks to get their two superstars and really have had to sort of scramble to fill out their roster. The Clippers were able to get their two superstars without losing all the depth. Now, they all traded away all their future picks.
Right.
But their team is so much more complete. And boy, Lou Williams is such an important player for the Clippers. Because especially with Paul George out, he's a stress reliever. And when they got off to a rough start last night, the Lakers got up big early on. They brought in Montrezl Harrell. They brought in Lou Williams. They started around their pick and roll. Everything was flowing again, and that enabled Kawhi to then go off.
Right, because it's not just that they didn't have to clear out their bench to make those trades. It's that it is one of the best benches in the league last season. Two six-man of the year candidates, right. One of them who won. And Doc Rivers said last night he thinks they're going to be better this season. He thinks Mo Harkless fits right in there. We saw that with the steal last night. And I don't know. I heard someone ask Anthony Davis in the locker room afterward, well, I mean, your guys' bench is going to be better once Kuz comes back. And that's true. And obviously Rondo also was hurt last night. But I don't think they've got the bodies there that they need to match up. And again, the Clippers, we're talking about the highest bar, right? You said that they're you picking them to win the title. So I'm not saying the Lakers are a bad team. They won't win a lot of games at all. But if you're talking about the highest bar, I just don't see them having the bodies to get there, even when those guys come back. I also want to ask you a little bit about Kawhi's 16 second quarter points, something, nothing, or everything. What do you think?
Well, this is definitely something, but really to me, it was part of the entire first half show, which includes his commercials, where he's throwing some shade at the Lakers, his New Balance commercial, throwing some shade at LeBron and the Lakers. The pregame video, which threw some shade at the Lakers. And that, as you said earlier, it was sort of a quasi-Laker home game. That said, Kawhi embraced this game, and the Clippers embraced this rivalry. I know LeBron downplayed it, but that's not what I saw from the Clippers.
I think it's something. I go back to Kawhi days in San Antonio, where he was primarily the best defender on the court for that team. And now, I mean, his offense has caught up to his defense. So for him to put on a display like he did in the finals against Golden State on one leg, I'm not surprised by this. This is who he is now. He's a great defender, and he also is a great mid-range shooter that can score the ball at any given time.
We use that expression with athletes. We're seeing him at the height of his power.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like
Good
with
point.
Kawhi
yeah.
last night. All right, let's go to Lakers side, though. LeBron and AD combining to score 2 points in the fourth quarter. Something, nothing, or everything, T-Mac.
I don't think this is anything right here, because from what I seen from LeBron last night, he was trying to figure things out, right? He's in his 17th year. He's trying to defer and really establish AD to being the guy for this team. He was deferring a lot. He was very passive. He was just trying to figure out what he has around here. He's done that in the past with some of his newer teams.
Yeah, I don't want to overreact to this game, but I do think that this is everything. The way these two guys play together is going to be a huge factor going forward, and we're not going to judge them just now, but they have probably had the least amount of practice time of anybody in the NBA, because not only did they go overseas, but they went overseas and then couldn't practice there. And they came back, they immediately went into games, they didn't take time to practice like the Nets did. You felt like they were still practicing last night.
Yeah. Look, teams that go overseas have a worse record in the regular season. We've seen that over and over and over again. We'll have to see if that catches up to the Lakers. Got a little bonus round for you. Brian sent around this video to all of us earlier this hour. Is Ty Lue leaving Rich Paul hanging? Something, nothing, or everything. Look at this. Look at Ty. Not talking to him. Give him a little stare. Yeah. Let's see it again.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, I've talked to some of the principals here.
All right. Give us a lowdown.
Paul and Paul George were talking about Paul's suit. Mm-hmm. And Ty came over and said, hey, stop talking to my player. And it was all in good fun. Now, if you don't believe him, that's fine, but that's the...
It wasn't good fun.
I think that there was the stare down, and it wasn't good fun.
That's right.
Right.
If you know anything about Ty, he loves to give that stare. That was definitely a Ty Lue stare.
I have a question, guys, and I'm just going to ask Dame Lillard this question, just out there in the universe. Damian Lillard, what time is it? What kind of league is it?
Lillard, a chance to send the Thunder home. Lillard, long range three. the Make or Miss League.
Miss Execution, tie game in Toronto. Norm Powell maybe hoping for a Damian Lillard moment out of a timeout, runs some ISO ball, throws up a 30-footer that misses at the buzzer, Tracy.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that shot. It was a very, very ill-advised shot.
They got the rings, but they don't have Kawhi to take that shot anymore.
And I was surprised they went to him. Maybe, you know, they know something we don't know or we haven't seen out of him.
Do you think they went to him? Or do you
Nick Nurse said it was a breakdown, a play the play broke down.
There you go. Make three stripe life. Check out the shoes Brandon Ingram wore last night. Oh, look, some T-Mac Millenniums.
Oh, he had
Tracy,
that?
He dropped 22.5 and 5. Got to be the shoes, right?
Stand those Millenniums, little fella. I got a new pair coming in December.
Oh, see?
Take care of them.
MZ2.
The plus minus for Brandon was not strong last night, but hey.
Hey, we didn't ask you for all that.
Don't
ruin this moment.
The
bro.
Line was nice. The shoes were nice. It was all good.
It was clean, right? That's
what, that's they what the kids said last night.
They
as
did.
I thought
they did.
They
it was
would.
A great game right to the end.
Make those fire though.
Mathematics. Kendrick Perkins tweeting that Jared Dudley is built like an algebra trig teacher.
Man,
but you better not leave him open. Kendrick didn't
come
have
on, KP.
To explain what an algebra trig teacher is, but his point is
trig is hard.
All I know is yes, you better not leave him open to kick and shoot.
Perk is built like the janitor though.
I don't think that's true, Brian.
Why are we talking about people's builds?
I think he's built like the star football player, right?
Hey, man. Jerry Dudley knocked down a couple trades last night.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Coming up, I go one-on-one with Joel Embiid. He talks about his personal and team goals for the season. He talks about his reputation as one of the best trash talkers in the game today. Guys, he says he's never trash talking again. You got to hear this. First, though, it's time for our distant replay from this date in 2004, featuring Tracy's primo, his cousin,
hey, I'm
Vince Carter.
You're featuring him too much.
I had Jalen Rose. Love
he's only like 28.
Tonight, we have our first NBA regular season doubleheader on ESPN. It's finally here, also on the app. Joel Embiid and the Sixers hosting Kemba Walker and the Celtics, 7:30 Eastern. And then, taking you out to the Rose City. Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets taking on Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers. That's going to be good.
MVP.
So as you hear, in the first game of our doubleheader, we will see the Sixers play their first meaningful game since losing Game 7, remember, in that heartbreaking fashion to the Raptors in the second round? And if it's a Sixers game, you know you want to hear from Joel Embiid. When we sat down to talk, I'll admit he shocked me with at least one of the things he said. And we also discussed this rivalry with the Celtics because it's getting spicy.
You lost 3 of the 4 games you played against the Celtics last year. How bad is the blood between these teams?
I feel like this year is going to be different. They lost a lot. You know, we got one of theirs, which was a big piece for them. But that also added a great player, Kemba. So we're going to see how it goes. But I'm interested in that matchup, and I feel like we got a pretty good chance to come out on top.
One good way to make sure you can improve against a team is to steal one of their best players. What did you think when you heard that Al was going to sign with you guys?
I was surprised. Boston let one of the key guys go, especially to the rivals. And then they also lost another guy that was good for them. So we're going to see.
You guys had a lot of changes this offseason, too. You got Josh Richardson. You did lose Jimmy Butler. What kind of loss is it for you personally just not to have him around with you?
It was a big loss because me and him, we got to the point where we were really close. That's my guy. That's my brother forever. I wish he was on the team because I feel like the relationship that I built with him could have gone a long way. Now he puts me in a situation where I'm going to love it, where I got to take over.
Jimmy did take a lot of those clutch game-winning type shots. Do you think you're the one who can do that this year?
Yes, I've been working on it all summer. Last year, most of my turnovers came from, you know, guys double teaming or me driving and them swiping at the ball. And You know, so this summer we basically worked a lot on situations with the shot clock running down, guys coming at me, and I gotta find a way to get a shot off. Hopefully all my hard work is gonna pay off.
I do want to go back to the end of last season, just because that game 7 you guys had against Toronto was so dramatic.
Is this the dagger?
And we saw you get really emotional on the court. What do you remember feeling in the moment now that you have some perspective on it?
I feel like it's just a competitive spirit on me. I actually went back home this summer and then, you know, they made fun of me. You know, Africans, we're tough. We don't cry. We don't, you know, we don't, like, mess around or whatever. And, you know, the elders, they were, like, making fun of me.
What did people say to you? What did your friends say to you back home?
Just, like, you can't cry. Like, you African, like, we tougher than this, this and that. So that should tell you that, like, you know, I wanted it back.
How long into the summer did it take you to get over what happened?
Man, it's still there. I still think about it. Watch that game all the time. I watch every game this past season. But I knew that it was a motivation for me to work harder and work on myself. I feel like I was slow in the playoffs. That's why I felt like I needed to get a little lighter.
You lost about 20 pounds this off season. How hard was that?
It was different because the whole summer I couldn't really play basketball. It was more about rehabbing and making sure my knee was fine. So you gotta have your days where, you know, you eat what you like, and your days where you actually, like, do the right thing.
You're not the only one who took what happened in the playoffs and tried to work on stuff over the summer. The Brooklyn Nets' Jared Allen heard all the talk of how you dominated him, and he said that he put on a bunch of muscle this off season. Does that mean we'll get a little bit more on-court trash talk when you guys meet up again?
Well, I don't think I'm talking trash this year, so.
I've heard that from you before. Last year, in the middle of the season, you were like, I'm done. I'm not talking trash anymore. I'm not doing any more on social media. And that lasted like a month, Joel.
I'm a changed man. I'm not doing all of that this year. I changed.
Can I play this tape for you later in the season?
We gonna see. Maybe.
You had issues with tendonitis in your knee. You ended up missing 14 of the Sixers' last 24 regular season games. What have you done so that this season it doesn't create so much of a problem?
You know, last year I started off playing a lot of minutes, you know, and it kind of like caught up to me in the second part of the season. So this year is all about like managing it the right way. You know, you can't just come out of the gate and play 36 minutes a game. You gotta go slowly, kinda, limit, what I can do without actually, like, you know, hurting the team or myself.
I know one of your other goals is to win that Defensive Player of the Year title. Came close last year. Are you gonna be the Defensive Player of the Year this year?
Yeah, with the schedule that we have, with how many games, they think I'm gonna play, I have a chance to be winning MVP or Defensive Player of the Year. We gotta be the number one seed and we gotta win a lot of games and everything else is gonna take care of itself.
He wants the Hakeem Olajuwon special. Thank you to Joel. Always one of the best interviews in the game. Trash talk, how long are you giving him?
Tonight,
that's it. Tonight. That's how long the trash talk bow was going to last.
Yeah.
It's about it. I don't buy it. I'm sorry. You also heard Trace Embiid saying he wants to win both DPOY and MVP, and he wants to, of course, win the title. What do you think of those goals? Are they realistic, given all of his history?
I think two of the three is reachable. I think he can be MVP of the league. I think he can be Defensive Player of the Year, given his talent, the team that he's on, the cast that he's surrounded by. I think they will be top two in the Eastern Conference. He's going to be the leader of this team. However, I don't think they can win the championship. But Defensive Player of the Year, if he stays in shape, and does what he do every single night, and MVP carry this team. Like he said, he's going to have to be the go-to guy at the end of games because there's no more Jimmy Butler. So that burden is on his shoulders, and I think he can carry that given what we saw the last time we see him walking off the court.
Rachel, I talked to him a couple weeks ago. I've never heard a guy's wide-ranging goals. Okay, defensive player of the year and MVP. Okay, he also wants to get the number one seed. Mm-hmm. He also doesn't want to overburden himself so he doesn't play too many minutes. He also, you know, wants to win the championship. He also wants to play on the perimeter and be able to create on the perimeter. And he also wants to be able to shoot and take the last shot. Like,
it's important to have goals,
I respect it. I don't know where it's going to settle. But I do think the most important thing for the Philly 76ers, beyond all that stuff, is his health.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they don't have him and have him healthy, they don't have a chance. He was not good. He was not Embiid level in the playoffs last year.
No.
That's what's most important for
him.
Well,
he started about maybe not putting his foot on the gas so hard at the beginning of the season to have more left at the end of the season.
But still wants to win MVP and defensive player of the year.
Hey, you know, again, goals. It all starts tonight. You heard him talking at the beginning of that interview about that Celtics-Sixers rivalry. It's getting good. It's going to be a really good game tonight. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you back here tomorrow. You guys stick with us, though, because we got Adrian Wojnarowski coming up. We've got Stephen A. Smith coming up. We've got Zach Lowe coming up. And here is what The Jump recommends. Adrian's podcast with Draymond Green and Warriors GM Bob Myers. It is so good. I listened to it on my way into work. After the break, you will hear it. You'll hear about Draymond talking about the fallout from his altercation with KD. Cancel your Friday night plans. We have an NBA doubleheader on ESPN. The Mavs face the Pelicans at 8 Eastern. Then the Jazz take on the Lakers at the Staples Center. Hey, look what we've got now. Draymond Green on the Woj Pod. Take a listen.
Bob and Steve, they told me, like, you need to apologize to Kevin before I got suspended. And I said, no, I'm not apologizing because y'all tell me to apologize. I'm not going to do that. And I didn't. And I never apologized to him until I came to grips with myself, not because of some games or the team ain't flowing right, but I can kind of see a look in my brother's face that I have not seen. He's hurt. How do I fix that? A lot of people don't understand me. Bob does. And it just felt like, wow, is this not the guy I thought I'd known for all these years? Is he turning on me? I just had to accept the fact that I was wrong. And once I was able to get over my stubbornness and accept the fact that I was wrong, I was able to move on.
Man, some raw talk, real talk from Draymond Green. We now welcome in our ESPN senior insider. Woj, thanks for being with us. We just heard, as I said, real talk from Draymond Green. He's talking about the aftermath of his altercation with Kevin Durant. What stood out to you from that conversation, especially with Bob Myers chiming in there?
Yeah, having Bob Myers and Draymond together, that dynamic, it's unique because they have a close relationship. And both of them were close, and I think are close. Bob still has a relationship with Kevin Durant. And how this played out and the way they look back at it from two different perspectives. Bob Myers said, what happens is you start to get tired. You're in your fifth year of a run, and sometimes you let things go that you need to acknowledge, account for. He wishes he got in front of that Durant-Draymond situation earlier because it was probably headed toward that. Mm-hmm. He should have dealt with it. And Draymond says, what I did on the floor, listen, that conversation in some shape or form with Kevin was needed to happen, but I should have done it in private. We should have gotten out ahead of this. And he knew that doing that to Kevin in public, he said that the hurt that I saw in his eyes looking back, I wish I had done it differently.
Tracy, that evolution of being sort of the pride that you feel, right, as a star player and kind of, hey, I felt the way it felt. And then kind of going through that, well, okay, maybe now I realize I was wrong. What do you think when you hear Draymond say that?
No, I mean, that's maturity, you know, from Draymond. And you know, when you make a mistake and when you're going through an altercation like that on the basketball court with your brothers, whether it's on the court, off the court, management, just step back and let these guys figure it out. They're two veteran players, right? And let things calm down. And as Draymond said, I saw the pain in his eyes. So I knew as a man, I had to go to him and apologize for my actions, right? And I got nothing but respect for Draymond manning up and going to KD and apologize for that. Because a lot of people just sit back and just let things just smooth over without, you know, verbal apology.
And it took time for that to happen. And I asked Draymond about that. I said, when is it management's role to get involved in this? And he said, in most cases, stay out of it. You'll make it worse. Mm-hmm. But in this case, he said it was different because Bob Myers has real relationships with Draymond Green, with Kevin Durant, with Steph Curry, with those players, and that Bob was going to be a help in that. And I think Bob gauged that too, but they had a season and a team and a championship. They were still trying to win, and they had to hold it together. And even what Bob said to me was that what bothered him the most was that relationship between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. They were close, and he didn't want to see, even if Kevin Durant was going to leave, he didn't want to see that relationship fractured.
I'll tell you what, I'm glad Draymond was man enough to go to KD and apologize in the situation, because like us guys, I mean, we have too much pride, even, you know, with women. And when we get in altercations with them, we don't like to go apologize. We think things are just, you know, a few days is
you're
just
talking about
smooth.
An argument. verbal argument.
Yeah, verbal argument. We like things are just smooth over, and then the next few days, everything is back to normal. But, you know, those things pile up. So the next time they got into an altercation, if there was no apology, probably would have been physical.
Well, look, Tracy, you've been married, what, 20 years? So this is, I know your wife, I know where this is coming from, but Bob Myers is someone you've had a long relationship with as well. Before he was the general manager of the Warriors, he was your agent, and hearing him and Draymond talk about how close they were and the respect that Bob has for his players, you can speak to that too, right?
Well, I mean, Bob's my favorite person. You know, I've been with Bob, you know, pretty much my whole career until he took that role. We went on vacations together. He's somebody that I admire and respect. And if I had a problem, I called Bob and, you know, we work things out. So I'm not surprised on the relationship that Draymond Green has with him, because Bob is just that type of guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to ask you a little bit about the Warriors' approach just before we let you go. This core thought, man, we could win half a dozen championships. They have visions of all of them being in the Hall of Fame. Kevin is, of course, left. Klay is hurt this season. Some people say they could get back to the finals. I'm not sure they think they're getting back to the finals. But just say in general, this year, next year, the year after, do you think management believes with this core they can win another title now?
No, they still have to improve on this team. And they know what the West looks like and the elite in the East. This year they would love to try to be able to make the playoffs. But if they don't, they want to get back a healthy Klay Thompson for next season. Mm-hmm. They'll have their mid-level exception to go out and bring in another veteran player. Hope D'Angelo Russell integrates into this team, and that Steph Curry and Draymond are still at a very high level for a couple more years. I think they see the window at least for two more years where if everything broke right, you know, maybe they could make a run in the playoffs. But to think they have a championship team, I don't think they believe that.
All right, well, we will watch it all develop. If they make changes, I know whose Twitter feed I will follow to find out. Well, thank you so much
for
stopping by. We appreciate it. Look forward to having you back throughout this season. Up next, we will be joined by Zach Lowe, who will share a few of his wild predictions for this season. Is it finals or bust for Giannis? Zach has a whole column of wild predictions. We'll get the wild man on the set himself. Stick around.
I'm going Lakers. Lakers. If you can't beat the Clippers without Paul George tonight and the season over, blow it up. Start panic time. Lakers.
Welcome back to The Jump. Zach Lowe joining us now. The Lakers did, in fact, yes, applause. Applause, people. Okay. The Lakers did, in fact, lose last night. So this is it, right? This
panic time. It's DEFCON 1 immediately. It's the Lakers. It has to be DEF. This is what they do. It's drama constantly.
There were a lot of takes this morning. You're not wrong. And there were legit questions, too. Trace, you were talking about some during the break.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron passiveness. The coaching of just dropping the ball down to AD. There was no continuity, no flow to the offense. The pace of, you know, the Lakers offense. I mean, everything went wrong last night that I didn't like.
Yeah, it was clunky. They were clunky. Offensively, it was a little clunky. And when LeBron and AD are at the three and the four and there's a center on the floor, they you can tell that they're trying to figure out how to use Anthony Davis. How they ran, I think, 8 pick and rolls between them last night, which is not very many.
Yep.
And AD alternated between spacing out to the three-point line and posting up one-on-one, old school, like kind of effective, but it's not what we all envisioned, I don't think.
They did play him at center for a few minutes.
13 minutes, I think, last night.
Yeah. But I know he doesn't want to play there. All right, that was your wild prediction from yesterday's show. Your wild predictions column, though, a little more serious, is up on ESPN.com and the app right now. And I wanted to run through a couple of them with you before the season kicks into full gear here. Zach, you said, quote, Giannis signs the Supermax if the Bucks make the finals. doesn't if they don't. Remember, Giannis has 2 years left on his deal, so this doesn't mean that he wouldn't re-sign or be there, but obviously it's kind of like the AD situation, right? If he doesn't sign the Supermax, is the clock ticking then?
It's ticking, but I think it's less dire for Milwaukee if he doesn't sign the Supermax. Maybe a little bit less dire if he doesn't sign the Supermax. I think there's more of a chance he might actually stay another year and then re-sign a regular contract than AD was just out. Like, AD was out.
You think that if Giannis turns down the Supermax, he would just give it another year?
First of all, let me give America the numbers. If this man turns down
a big number.
The Supermax.
Big number.
Giannis will be leaving 5 years, $253 million on the table. There's no way in hell he is turning down that. On a team that's been competitive in the Eastern Conference for the last few years. No, I don't see it happening.
Well, I hope you're right.
Right? The Supermax was designed for that. Such a big number that it would, in effect, bribe players to stay. Now, what we haven't seen happen is it has not worked to bribe them to stay with teams.
Everyone's turning it down. It's a hot new thing.
Right?
Turn down the Supermax.
Not 253.
But, obviously, if the team is doing well, then you'd think that he might sign it. You think, though, they'd have to make the playoffs for that time.
This is just my semi-educated prediction. I don't know what will happen.
That is
a wild
prediction. T-Max says it's too wild. $253 million. All right, I want to get to your next wild prediction. You said Miami finishes third in the East. This is, of course, assuming the Bucks and Sixers finish in the top two. The Celtics actually have the third best odds to win the East. So, Zach, why are you so much higher on the Heat?
Yeah, it's not even close either. Boston is the big favorite for that spot. I just like this weird, big, strange Heat team. I'm drinking the Heat Kool-Aid. Jimmy Butler is the best. If you compare the Heat and the Celtics, Jimmy Butler, I think, is the best player between those two teams. I think he's better than Kemba. I think it's close, but he wins a lot of regular season games. I like their mix of size and defense. If Tyler Hero's shooting is real, I kind of like that team. I have a little sweet spot for them.
No, I don't think so. I mean, my three teams are Philly, Milwaukee, and Boston.
Well, that's boring.
I mean, that's just what it's going to be, not me, Miami. That's your wild prediction. I don't see it happening. Okay. I'm sorry.
I mean, look, obviously the Celtics are a big wild card, right? And we thought that them playing with Team USA going into the season was going to give them a good start at the beginning of the season. Team USA obviously didn't go so well.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
So I am curious to see how they do. I think the Celtics are going to be a good regular season team. I do have concerns in the playoffs, but you guys are talking about seeding, so we'll see.
I mean, if they take an injury or something, 3-10 in the East has the potential to just go all sorts of different ways.
All right, speaking of wild predictions, Mac did have one yesterday. He said that Wilt Chamberlain...
This is crazy that I'm thinking this way. I actually think James Harden might average 40 points this year.
Not with Russ, sir.
Listen, I'm trying to tell you. Right. I do feel that way.
Well, I was just saying, Wilt Chamberlain is the only player in NBA history to average over 40. He did do it twice. So are you standing by?
It's my James wild prediction. Harden? That's a wild prediction.
Wild.
I am standing by that. I think this kid has that ability because of where the game at is today, right? I mean, it's a three-point game. James Harden is a great shooter. He's going to take a volume of those shots. He's probably going to average 15 threes. Nobody gets to the free throw line like him. And the system is tailor-made for this guy to put up numbers night in and night out like that. I wouldn't be surprised.
You're almost talking me into it, but you're not talking me into it. So, like, if he averages 40 points a game, and I realize how dangerous this is for me to say, you can pick any restaurant you want. Any restaurant you want,
wow.
And I'll take you out to dinner.
Okay.
Wow.
And I realize that's a bad, I'm going into dangerous territory.
Listen, Los Angeles has some nice restaurants.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of an income disparity.
Like 44 a month, that's a couple months or something like that. He averaged 40.
Okay, I'm just saying.
And I don't think he's gonna average 40. A string of 30-point games, I'm telling you, don't be surprised. This man start off the season... First 10 games, 40 points.
Yeah, you're going to be talking a lot of trash if that happens.
That's right. Then he gets an appetizer out of Zach. I think we'll just do it that way throughout the season. A month or two, a little appetizer.
Parcel it out.
And, like, yeah, that'll be easier on your wallet.
I just think with Russ is just a different animal as a player than Chris Paul. He's going to demand more of the ball, more of the offense. I don't see how you can average 40 with playing with Russ. But maybe you can. I don't know.
What's your wild prediction on Steven Adams' assists going up without...
Rebounds. Rebounds.
Yes. I mean, sorry, rebounds going up
Biggest
without Russ
jump
there.
Ever in defensive rebounding rate. Ever, year to year. Steven Adams last year to this year.
Rebounds off free throws?
He'll be allowed to get some now. Good. That's an easy way to get like five
Russ
rebounds.
Stealing
a game.
His rebounds?
Russ was.
I'm not saying that. That's
rebounds.
What was happening. Stealing is, if it's not stealing if you let him do it.
Yeah. There you go. Right. Wild prediction, Zach. Thank you for joining us. Everyone should check out the column on the app on ESPN.com. Coming up, LeBron said after last night's loss that Lakers-Clippers is not a rivalry. Is that BS or real talk? Stephen A. Smith.
What?
Yes. Can
we got
speak
my guy
to
on
BS
here.
Or real talk yes. rather than maybe anyone
first
in the
appearance
network.
On the jump.
And he can, not first time, but he is going to be here in
with
studio.
Me
first time with you.
40.
First, though, here's our second replay of the day.
40. We have to talk.
Let's talk.
That'll be during the break. Distant replay, 2013, featuring the Heatles. See, you can chime in on this. What do you think of this one?
Who's this?
Oh, that's nice. I like that. That's not my favorite, though. But I like that one.
Similar to the famous, the play that got the famous photo.
Yeah.
Those guys got some kind of symmetry.
Let's see if their kids can replay this season. They're playing together. Pre-game for our NBA doubleheader. You can do it by watching SportsCenter with Stephen A. Smith. It's at 4 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. He will be followed by Celtics Sixers, Nuggets Blazers. I'm going to be hosting halftime. This is probably a bad career move for me, Tracy, to be following Stephen A. Smith. 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock Pacific. The first show of many. I'm really looking forward to this.
Thank you so much.
100%. We welcome in Stephen A. Smith to The Jump.
It's good
live
to be
in
here.
The flesh. Very glad to finally have
yes.
you in the studio with us. And it is crunch time on The Jump. Who better to hang out with us for it? Spicy P, looking like he is ready to take the lead role in Toronto. Siakam had 34 points, 18 boards in the Raptors home opener. So Stephen A., is this a good enough sign for the Raptors? Is anything gonna do that for them?
Well, I'm gonna say it's a good sign. Okay. First of all, I think his nickname is totally whack. I've never liked Spicy P. I just want I can't stand that nickname. However, having said all of that, this is a guy that Masai held on to. Mm-hmm. You know, remember why I wanted Paul George? He wanted to hold on to Spicy P.
Yes.
I understand it. And he went out and performed last night. I like it.
Well, you have to pick out a new nickname. Should Stephen A. pick out a new nickname for Pascal?
We need a new nickname. I can't call him that Spicy P. Sorry.
I think it's a good enough start for them. I'm happy they got to win on ring night. Blake Griffin out until at least November with a hamstring and knee problem. Detroit was a playoff team last year, but remember, he was hobbling around. They open against the Pacers tonight. Matt, can the Pistons hold down the fort until Blake returns?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think they could hold down the fort with Blake on the court. You know, I mean, we're not talking about the Pistons doing anything this year. I love Derrick Rose being acquired to that team to help Blake Griffin out, but I just don't see it. I just don't think they have enough.
If this was church, I would say, can I get an amen? Because the fact of the matter is, Tracy McGrady's absolutely right. There's really not much reason to think about the Pistons at all outside of Blake Griffin. And, of course, Dwayne Casey. They just don't have that great of a team.
I had been hoping they held on to Joel Johnson. I was surprised that they let that go.
Right, I was shocked by
that. The team isn't so good. Why not take a flyer and see what he could do? So, Stephen, we picked the following segment just in honor of you. We have the signs out. Kathy, can you roll it, please?
All right.
The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap.
Oh yes, it's time for BS or Real Talk with ESPN's premier determiner of BS or Real Talk. LeBron James was asked by a reporter after last night's game how big a test it was for the Lakers. Here was his response.
I disagree on how big of a test it was. It's the first game. You know, obviously, the NBA is back, and that's what everybody's trying to have the narrative of a rivalry game, and is a huge test. I think both teams are not who they want to be. We have a lot of room to improve. We're a new group that's coming together. We have a new coaching staff. We have a new system. And it's not a rivalry. We're trying to get better every single day.
Friends, he says it's not a rivalry. BS or real time. The signs are already up. There you go.
I'm disgusted by that comment from LeBron. Kawhi Leonard has come into Los Angeles as the reigning champion and NBA Finals MVP. The New Balance commercials and everything else. I'm coming for you. I dare you to do something about it. The entire basketball world is looking forward to this game last night. And you respond with a passive performance like that on the offensive side of the ball. LeBron James is elite. He's big time. He's on the Mount Rushmore. We get all of that, Matt. Respect for his accomplishments. We know what he can do. But my goodness, talk about not responding to the moment. This is L.A. We don't want to hear that this is not a rivalry. You're sharing the same arena. You're sharing this city. You're the two big time title contenders. And obviously you're the star and he's the star for that team. What do you mean it's not a rivalry? What is he thinking about? I don't want to hear that from LeBron James at this particular point or at any point in the season. And I'm sure if you walk the streets of L.A., everybody would agree with me on that point.
He agrees with you.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a rivalry. I mean, you're talking about Kawhi Leonard, and LeBron James has history. You go back to when he was on San Antonio Spurs, when he played great defense on LeBron James, when LeBron James was in his prime. Now LeBron James is a little bit older in his 17th year, and Kawhi's in his prime. He got to accept that challenge, and last night he didn't accept it.
Well, look, I think that it is BS that it's not a rivalry. It is a rivalry.
It is
you
a
like
rivalry.
It or not, it is a rivalry. I do think we talked about this on the radio. I think some of the passivity – well, he's not looking very passive in this. This just got posted by the L.A. Lakers.
Right.
I think some of that passivity was intentional. I think he was trying to say, hey, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I said that Anthony Davis, the offense was going to go through him. Watch it. It is going through him.
Am I allowed to ask you a quick question?
You can.
Why couldn't that have waited till Friday? They played Utah. Why did it have to be open? I'm just saying, I don't mean it. No, not against Utah. Why did it have to be open at night? TNT's or outside LA Live, that hundreds of people are out there. Everybody's festive, hyped for this game.
Yes.
You're going against Kawhi. Why couldn't this have waited till Friday?
I get it. And I was watching the game, and you look at Pat Beverly. Pat Beverly takes on any challenge that it is on the basketball court. You look at what he tried to do in the playoffs against KD. KD was like, y'all know who I am. Right? Y'all know who I am because we were saying that he was locking him up.
Yep.
Last night, he was guarding LeBron James. Now, I think it's a little psychological warfare on Doc Rivers' part with putting him on there because he know LeBron is going to be aggressive for two or three possessions, then he's going to look to pass the ball. And I just think LeBron doesn't have that mentality all the time of taking it, putting his foot on the gas.
I wouldn't have held it against him if he had it last night and didn't have it Friday. But to not have it last night and then post that photo – that really gets on my nerves, Rachel. It really gets on my nerves.
The Lakers posting the photo. I will send their social media manager to you.
I'm not knocking them. I don't blame the Lakers.
Next up, we have Kyrie Irving, who a year ago told a crowd of Celtics fans he would come back to Boston if Celtics fans would have him. Yesterday, he said about picking the Nets, quote, it was an easy decision. I was always coming here regardless. Guys, was Kyrie saying he was going to Brooklyn regardless? BS or real talk, friends?
Whew. It's BS. Kyrie would have went to New York if Kevin Durant had gone to the Knicks.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the Nets are New York also.
I understand that. I'm from Queens, so it's Brooklyn, Rachel.
Right,
I get to say that as a native New Yorker, but I understand.
Yeah, so you feel that if KD had said, no, I really want to go to the Knicks, he would have been going there anyway.
Yes, I feel the same way. I mean, we heard the talks of these guys teaming up, you know, and I just felt like, you know, wherever KD was going to go, he was going to follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that Kyrie meant what he said when he spoke to that group of fans in Boston. I do. I think he meant it. I talked to him that week. He meant it. I don't think it was so smart of him to say it.
Say it, right.
Why say it then? Things change. We've watched Kyrie Irving for years. Things in his world change. Things changed over the course of the season. Was he going to the Nets regardless? I don't know. I agree that he's
an intellectual. He's a thinker. He really, really is. And he's really smart. He's a brilliant basketball player. But I do believe that he was smart enough to know KD is the truth and a half. And if KD was going to the Knicks, he wasn't going to the Brooklyn Nets.
But Kyrie was pushing the Nets between the two of them.
He was.
So absolutely. All right. With the full return of NBA games, we got a little league pass game of the night. Finally, our segment's back. Knicks at Spurs. What better way to kick off the season than Marcus Morris going to San Antonio? He reneged on the deal with the Spurs. Remember, in the offseason, chose the Knicks. So Stephen A., Mr. Knicks fan, will there be a little extra motivation for San Antonio tonight?
I think it will, because he left them high and dry to go to the Knicks. But how could you do this to me? How could I show up on my first appearance on the spur, on the jump, and you bring up the Knicks, Rachel?
It's because I love you.
Why?
Because I love you.
The Knicks.
It's your team. I felt like, you know.
Knicks and the Spurs.
This is a new season. It's like opening day in baseball. You never know what's going to happen.
It was a finals preview.
I thought y'all had love for me.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks to all our guests today.